sent his disciples out. He sent them out in his name. Go under my name. Go out in my name. Lay hands in my name. Speak the word in my name. What a powerful name. The most powerful name in the universe, the name of Jesus. All right, we're going to, I've noticed since we changed our Sunday school program that kids hadn't had a chance maybe to give the giving well like they were. So what we're going to do at this time is all the kids, if you have offering for the giving well, can come give your money. Little kids, K and under, go to the back when you get done with your offering. Other kids, go back to your seat with your family when you get into the offering. So if you have at this time, y'all can do that. Hudson's leading the way. Good boy. This morning, we're going to be talking about Arise, but I got a video I just want to play. It's really not, it's a song, not really a video. I had a video with the pictures, but to me, the words are so powerful. I'd rather you see this. You've probably heard this song. It's called Arise, My Love. And the words are so powerful. Before I present this message, I just want to play this song and look at the words and understand the power of the resurrection, because that same power of the resurrection now lives inside of us. So it's powerful. So go ahead and play this, Brandon.
Yeah.
time for us to arise, church. The word I kept hearing Saturday is over here at church. I kept hearing that in my spirit, arise. We stay down too long. We stay down way too long. And God is causing us to arise from where we're at to the place he wants to take us. The old saying, we have sayings like, you fall off the horse, you got to get back on it. Right? Don't stay down. Some of you are off the horse right now. You're in a place of your life that you just, you're stuck there, you've been stuck there, and you don't know how to get unstuck. Well, we have a king who is alive and well. We have a Jesus who is present. We have a Lord who we can call upon at any time, and he hears us and he answers us. We're not serving some distant, fictitious thing. You know, we're not serving something that we can't even name. My God has a name. I can identify my God. He walked this earth. Jesus took on the form of God in the flesh. The Bible says that in 2 John. He took on flesh. Mary held the face of God in her arms. And this God walked the earth, lived perfectly, committing no sin, and went to be slain like a sheep to a shearer, the Bible says, and he did not open his mouth. He did not argue about it. He did not try to get out of it. He didn't try to battle his way or scheme his way out of his calling. He knew what his calling was. It was to die for humanity. And that death on the cross was not the finished work of his existence. The finished part is when he rose the third day and came alive, showing us that the grave will not hold us. That death will not hold us. That we are not just laying out there somewhere rotting away. That we're not in some no man's land. But that we are in a real present situation with our Creator. And I believe that. I don't believe that there's any time frame that we are unaware or we are out of the presence of God. Because he arose. Because he arose, we can arise. The world is hard. And life is hard, and people are mad, and people are angry, and people are tormented, people are suffering, people are fearful of what tomorrow may hold, people are afraid of what's next, people don't have the answers for what's on the horizon, and we argue with people, and we stay so stressed and so stirred up and such full of anxiety in our lives that it controls us. We weren't meant to bear anxiety and stress. We were meant to walk in peace, the peace that God gives. We were meant not to walk in sorrow, but walk in joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says there is sorrow for a time, but joy will come in the morning. Well, it's time that some of you, this becomes your morning, that this becomes the day you step out and you step up and say, I'm going to arise out of this place that I'm in and take on what God has prepared for me. Because I'm tired of sitting here. I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of being afraid. I am tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of all of that mess. And I'm ready for peace. I'm ready for joy. I'm ready for strength. I'm ready for power. I'm ready for wisdom. I'm ready for direction. I'm ready for a purpose. I'm ready for my calling to be realized in my life. And that comes through Jesus. Sounds cliche-ous, right? All we need is Jesus. I understand that Jesus don't go to work 40 hours a week and pay the bills for us necessarily. I get that. We got to go to work. We got to raise our kids. Our kids act out. We can't say, oh, well, Jesus, you handle it. No, we got to pop their hind in or whatever you can reach in the moment. Pastor, ooh. We got some police and current police, informed police officers in the sanctuary, three or four this morning. I guarantee you, they wish their parents had popped their hind in a lot more. They wouldn't be running the idiots they're running into on the streets. So I know that Jesus, we have to still do our part, yes. But I don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds, Stacey, because I know who's got my tomorrow. I know God's got my tomorrow. I know that. If all of a sudden I was off the earth today and I thought I was a goner Thursday night, I'm going to get Ashley from work. That bad storm came through Thursday night. At our house, we got it bad. I mean, the house was shaking. The trees were swaying. The rain was going sideways. I mean, it was bad. Lightning was streak. I mean, the lightning was so bad driving to get her, I about couldn't even drive. It was continual, just flashing. You know, I started to do my poses. I'm driving. I mean, it was just. And I hit a pocket of water on a bridge on I-40. And couldn't see. It was dark. And it's like going through a creek. I'm just sitting there, and I thought I was gone. Yeah, you had the moments where your kind of life flashed over your eyes. I had a partial moment. It was that bad, and I don't usually get shook up that bad. I mean, Melanie says shook up all the time when I drive, but I don't get shook up that bad. But that really shook me up because I'm on water for a little while, and I could feel I wasn't on the ground, and I'm just thinking any moment this car is going to just vert over in these trees or off the interstate. And Jesus did actually take my wheel, unlike your driver's ed teacher said. Jesus did take my wheel, and I know he did. And so, but I know if I'd have left in that moment, and I hadn't seen my family no more, and I'd been gone that moment, there is no doubt I would have been with Jesus. And that's what gives us peace. I know this world ain't all that good no more. I think we all can agree. We got some problems. But Jesus is still king. No matter who's in the White House, whether it was George W. Bush, whether it was Barack Obama, whether it's Donald Trump, whoever it'll be the next time. Could be Smokey the Bear next time. Who knows who it'll be. Whoever is in the White House, God is still on the throne. And that's what I trust. And he is calling us to arise out of where we're at. We are seeing suicide rates up. We're seeing people medicated up to try to deal with anxiety problems, depression problems, PTSD issues. All these problems of the mind and issues in our spirit that we are so broken and we are so in need of something. I want to read in Acts chapter 9 as we talk about arise this morning. Acts chapter 9, about two miracles that God used Peter to perform. Two miracles in these 10 verses. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 32. It came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And this is called Lod in the original Hebrew, but it's Lydda in the Greek. This is in Israel. It's about 25 miles from Jerusalem. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed for 8 years, and he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, in other words. He couldn't walk. Completely paralyzed, bedfast. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh you whole. Arise and make your bed. And he arose immediately. Here's a man that was paralyzed and couldn't walk. Peter passed by under the unction of the Holy Spirit and spoke healing to his body and says, arise. Notice what Aeneas did. He didn't say, okay, I'll try it tomorrow, Peter. You know, I'll try it and I get better. Let me get woke up first. Let me get my waffles and bagels eaten, drink my coffee, and I'll jiggle my leg a little bit and see if I can feel anything in it. Sometimes that's our attitude toward God. I mean, when God speaks, if all of a sudden I yelled to everybody, get down! Two things would happen. Hopefully y'all would get down. Even you older folks, something when the Holy Ghost get hold of you, something, it'd make you go down. And then the other thing would happen, 4 or 5 would be popping your locks out, and I appreciate that. Thank you. But if I yelled that, you wouldn't just sit there and say, oh, does he mean now? You think he wants me to get down like, oh, you mean now, God? Yeah, now. If I say fire, wonder where it's at. Fire where? Fire in here? Fire over there? Fire everywhere? I don't know. Do I move? Do I stay? Do I leave? He ain't told me to. Look, when God speaks to you, it's for now. It's not for later. Because God's wanting to do something today in your life. Today is the day of salvation. Today can be your day of healing. Today can be your moment of breakthrough. Today, right now. What are we waiting on? We think back, well, it ain't like it used to be back yonder, back in older yesterdays. Of course it ain't. Thank God it ain't. We had no microwave 40 years ago. No cell phones. Some of you grew up without electricity in your home and indoor plumbing. Try going to outhouse in February around here, see how you like it now. Nobody wants to go back to that time period. But when it comes to spiritual things, look, God's not changed.
He is still the same miracle worker, Sea of Galilee walker, raising Lazarus, dead man, that he's always been. It doesn't change just because we don't feel it no more. Maybe we don't feel it no more because we don't believe it no more. I still believe in a God that can do anything. I still believe in a God that can wave his hand or speak one word and my situation change in a moment. This man was laying there 8 years paralyzed and bedfast, and Peter came by in one moment, in one instant, and spoke to him, and he arose right then, and he was healed. Why do we think God can't do it today, or why do we think God can't do it for us? God can do it for her, but he's not going to do it for me, because God knows what all I've been and what all I've done. Bless you. That was a confirmation from the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how we think God won't let us arise from where we're at. Because we don't, as Rodney said when he opened up, we've got to know how much that we're loved by God. And I know the religious folks don't like hearing this because we like being religious. We like hanging on to our religious doctrine to the point that it's about us. But I want to say this. This is a profound statement, and it's the truth. And I'm just take it for what it is, this statement. There's nothing that you can or can't do that will affect God loving you less or more than he does now. No matter what your children do, you may want to wring their little necks. I bet Kelly wants to wring little Matthew's neck sometimes. But you know what? She would wring somebody else's neck too for trying to wring his neck. That's how that works. She loves that boy no matter what he does, how smart mouth he may be, what grade he gets on his English test. You know what he does. She might be disappointed sometimes, be upset, be angry, be embarrassed. Has your kids ever embarrassed you? Oh, yeah. But you know what? You sure don't stop loving them. I don't base how I love Ashley on how she acts. Now, I'm thankful she's a good, good young woman, and I'm blessed there. But I would love her no less if she was a bad, bad young woman. I'll be disappointed. I'll be hurt. I'll be stressed. I'll be angry. I'd be like Melanie, God's explaining to do. I'd be all that. But I wouldn't love her less. What makes us think because we got bigger, and I love that, right? Bigger sins. We got bigger sins. And we're so great about justifying it. Oh, I would never do that. But you do that. I would never be seen wearing that. But you wear that. I would never let my kid do that. But your kid does that. Understand, sin is defined by really us and the rules that we make of what sin is. And God came to forgive and take out the penalty that separated us from God. The price has been paid. We walk in the beauty of that redemption forever and ever. Here we see a man that was crippled, paralyzed. He arose. Next verse. Here's another miracle. And there he found verse 35. And all that dwelled at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. They turned to Jesus when they saw the miracle of Peter. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Notice that verse. It's a woman and she is a disciple. Just put that in your back of your head there. Which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and almsdeeds is what she did. She had a ministry of helps for other people. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. Now, this is a point of interest here. It was unheard of for someone when they died to wash them and let the body lay overnight without burying them. That didn't happen. Never happened. But these women loved her so much, and they knew Peter was close by, that instead of burying her, they washed her up and put her to the side, hoping Peter could come by and maybe God would hear Peter. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, they were close by, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose, there's that word again, he arose right then in that moment. He went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. He kneeled down and he prayed. And turning him to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And when she opened her eyes and she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Here we see Peter again, a woman that was dead, already gone. Peter prays, and the Lord raises her back up. Even in death, it's not too late to be arisen, if that's a word, arisen. It's not too late. You may look like it's desperate and it's over and it can't be undone or unchanged or reversed or unfixed. But with God, when he says arise, everything changes. When he passes your way, things can change in a moment, in an instant, when he touches your life. And we see folks all around us that are staying in a place of desperation and a place of bondage. And God wants to lift them out of that and pour upon them his spirit and his refreshing presence to say, "I'm here and I'm giving you strength. I'm giving you strength when you don't have no strength. I'm giving you power you don't have no power. I'm giving you breakthrough when you can't see the light of day. But here I am, and this is your moment, and this is your time to arise." How many times do we leave together as a body of believers, and we leave without obeying what God is telling us to do? Because we think, well, not today. Not now. If not now, when? Not today, when? I guarantee that for physical things, natural things, we will be grabbing to get what we need today. If I told Kevin back here, "I've got $10,000 check waiting on you. As soon as you come see me, you'll get it." When do you think Kevin will come see me? Right now. "Hey, preacher, can I interrupt you? I want my check." He would wait to end the service to get it. But with God, we don't seem to have that same urgency. "Yeah, God, I know you're speaking, but I don't know. I don't feel it right now. I don't feel it right now." Arise. Arise from where you're at and make, you know, I've told my kids this, and it really is, I still believe this. And this isn't some kind of Dr. Phil slogan. I really believe this. But we can truly choose to be happy or to be miserable. Because you know why we're not happy? Because we let people and circumstances dictate that. That's all that is. So if we could shut the door on people and circumstances and say this person or this circumstance is not going to define whether I've got the joy or not, we'll have joy. We can praise the old slogan, "Learn to dance in the rain." So what's raining? Dance in it. So what? It's snowing. Ski in it. Do something productive. So what? It's 95 degrees out there and you're burning up. Put an egg on the grill. Make what you're in productive. The old saying, take lemons, make lemonade. We choose to be miserable. We are miserable because we choose. "You don't know my life, Pastor." I understand. Believe me, my life's not perfect. Trust me. I'm married with children. My life is not perfect. But you know what? I'm not going to let people and their attitudes, and I'm not going to let things, I'm not going to let bondages that try to come against me to say, "You know what? You have to stay down because I told you to stay down." No. Rocky got back up, didn't he? Rocky arose. I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to rise up and claim the victory I know that's within me. And that victory within you is Christ Jesus. And he's there. Go to the next scripture with me, Matthew chapter 15. We're talking about arise. Matthew 15.
Verse 22.
"Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him," talking about to Jesus, "saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.'" Now let's talk about what Canaan was, because you may not understand the Canaan. Canaan was a part of Israel, and it was the most despised nationality in all the country. They were despised. They were the dogs. And we'll read that in a minute. They were called dogs. And they were evil and they worshiped many gods. They were the most idolatrous part of that nation, of Israel. They were the most idolatrous place, and that's why they were so despised. So here answers your question. Am I worthy enough? Does God care for me? Because, man, I ain't got it all together. I don't have my suit and tie on this morning. I've got dirt on my hands. I'm not all groomed. I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. I'm not all together. So could God care for me? Well, here's a woman from Canaan who Jesus didn't have to talk to and by the law could have shunned her. I think it's such a shame we have churches that still shun people. Isn't that sad? They shun them because of they won't obey man's law, not God's law. They won't do what man wants to do, so they shun them. There's one judge, and that's God, period, not us. So we can throw stones at people all day long, but I'm going to tell you something. We all just ain't all live in glass houses. All of us live in a glass house. He answered her not a word. Christ didn't answer. His disciples urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us. We don't want those folks here. Their skin color ain't right for our church. We don't want those folks here because, you know, we're not really a tatted, pierced cup kind of church. We don't want them here because they're young people and they're bad. Well, we don't want them here because they don't wear dresses and we only want women that wear dresses here. We don't want them here because, are you ready for this? They're liberal. They're really, really liberal and they're Democrat. And they believe in everything. And so we can't have them in the church. They may corrupt our church." Do we really think that anything can corrupt the word of God? The name of Jesus is above all names. It's head over all names. But here, the disciples are urging Jesus to send her away. How sad is that? Lord, what are you paying attention to her for? She's a Canaanite. Send her away. Scat, scat. Don't come back. You know, just shoo her away. Thank God Jesus didn't do that to us. Next verse. He answered and says, he did tell her, "I was not sent to the lost sheep of the house. I was not sent except the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What Jesus is saying is, my mission is to only touch the lives of those in Israel. Nobody else. That's what I came to do. Next verse. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Help me. Do we really think God's going to turn anyone away? You know, I don't like sayings like this, and I know that we get mad, and I've got my own political stance of what I believe in. I don't usually share that from the pulpit because that's not what I'm supposed to do. Not because of the law, but because I'm a uniter, not a divider, and that's what I want to be as a pastor. But we have some people that make statements like this. They need to burn in hell for what they did. They need to, you know, hang them by a noose in 3 days, and that fix that. And I understand that we get angry with that. But what, couldn't we all be on that noose in our life at one point? What if Larry was your judge? Who said that? The wife? Oh, Stacy. What if Larry was in the throne up here, and y'all had to come before his presence? How many buttons down would Larry hit? And how many up would he hit, I wonder? Oh, so you're a convict, huh? Down. You're a wife beater? Down. You're a drug addict? Down. You looked at my wife the wrong way one day? Down. You said something smart to my kids? Down. Oh, you're the sheriff? Up. It's just funny. If we were the judge, how dangerous that would be. God helps those that call upon him, no matter what they've done or where they've been. This is the mission that God's called me to do, and this is why that when people reach out to me, I will not leave them silent. I will respond, no matter what they've done, how they look, how much nerves they get on my nerves. If they're reaching out, I've got to reach back because that's what Jesus did for me. What if Let's put it in a way that us older generation, excuse me, not us, y'all older generation can relate to how you were brought up. What if Jesus came before you got it all together? But he didn't. His mercy extended for you to get it together. Think about that. What if God, and I do believe that we are under the blood of Jesus, and the Bible says in Romans 8 that we have passed from condemnation. There is no more condemnation, no more judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. And what I mean by that is that, you know, that I know I'm a child of God, and I know my sins have been forgiven, past, present, future, and so I realize that I can stand before God as a righteous child of God by his blood and his blood alone. I know that. Understand that. What if God judged us individually by every work that we did as we do each other? This is why it's hard for some people to arise from where they're at, because people are always pushing them back down, always stepping on them and pushing them down. Don't let nobody keep you down when the resurrected power of Christ can lift you up. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You have been called by his name. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are his. You belong to him. A great price has been paid for you to walk in freedom and power and victory. And even when the storm comes, learn to stand and praise God when the wind is blowing and the hail is falling, to say, Lord, you're still God and I'm still yours, and that's all that really matters. It's going to be okay. Remember, happiness has to do with what's happening to us. Joy has to do with what's happened inside of us. Man, there's nobody happy if we base just what happened against us. I mean, we're keeping a check sheet every day. We have more bad than good a lot of days. Do we not, Stacy? Have more bad than good some days. So if we're keeping that check sheet, I'm not going to allow any more of the people or circumstances to dictate whether I walk in victory. I'm already in victory. I'm already victorious. I'm already an overcomer. So why do I not walk that way? Remember the Andy Griffith episode where Barney had to go run the flea market, the guy selling produce on the side of the street, and he bullied him, you know? And Andy says, you got a badge, you know? That badge speaks for all the people, you know? You got a badge, church. You can walk around like, you know, Barney Fife. You got a badge. You got a badge of honor by God. That when you walk into a place of demonic happenings, your spirits are all around you trying to attack you, you bind them in the name of Jesus and say, you cannot have this situation, because we have the authority through Christ. It's amazing how we believe we're followers of Jesus and we're children of God, but we don't walk in any of the benefits of him being our Father. Most of your children have no problem, I mean, usually, your children have no problem hitting you up for money as parents. You're the first one they come to and they're in need. Could you spare it a little bit? A little bit short? I don't know what to do. Then as they get older, they start doing a little trickier, manipulating you. So they think you don't know what they're doing, but you do. Yeah, my phone about to get cut off. I got a new job. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll figure it out. That's AKA for I need money, please send it. We don't ask our Heavenly Father for near what our children ask us. God, I need some joy today. Please. I need some peace today, God. Can you give me some? I need some strength today, God, because I'm tired and I'm weary. God, I need some strength to overcome the temptations that are coming against my life, that I don't fail to those, but I can overcome those. I need that, God. Help me. Look what he said to the woman. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This is Jesus talking. Now, this sounds harsh, but what he is saying, and to make this more relevant, what he's really saying is, I'm called, this message, this gospel, this redemptive work, this healing work, is for the people of Israel, the Jews. it's not really for you. Remember, dogs back then wasn't like dogs today. Dogs were wild. They were out in the street. They weren't domesticated like they are today. They were considered unclean and violent and dirty. And so here's this woman who's like a dog approaching Jesus, and that's what he tells her. Next verse. Look at what she says. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Man, think how deep that is. Lord, I know you came. What she's saying, I know you came for the Jews. I know that you're their God. But aren't you available for me at all? Can I not have a little something? Can you throw me a bone, God? Can you give me something? Because I need help. And God, I believe that you can help anyone that asks you for it. Look what Jesus said. Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as your desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. A long distance deliverance. Jesus wasn't even with the daughter. Remember, she was demonically possessed. And God healed her because she came to him and she arose. Now, I want you to think about this. Our generation, I know it's hard for us to comprehend now because our generation has changed so much that everything is acceptable. It's hard for us to fathom. I was telling Mel the other day, we were talking about, I said, if I didn't have you, I'd be single the rest of my life. I'm telling you. Not you now, you're the Living Word crowd, okay? But everybody with the Living Word crowd, women have lost their femininity. They've lost their ladylikeness. They become like men. They're rude. They swear and cuss. They're coarse. As a whole, I see that. See, I've got me a woman, a real woman. I've got me a feminine. She's my lady. Oh, lady. That's who she is. And I know we've crossed a barrier now. How many of you remember? I've heard from my mom, so I know she knows. I know some of you sound stupid, even to Melanie, it didn't make sense. But this is how much we have just changed as a cultural society. How many of you remember when girls were not supposed to call boys? Raise your hand. Look around. Girls did not. Why did girls not call boys, ladies? Too aggressive behavior. Well, they must have been right, because once they started calling, a woman now will get on you and, well, you know what I'm saying. They are aggressive now. We have went from a culture of that to now you don't even know if they're a woman or a man or it or they or we or us. I ain't got a clue what they are. They walk like a man and look like a woman. They talk like a it and sit like a they. I don't know what they are anymore. I ain't got a clue. And we are so programmed to accept this as normal behavior. And so it's hard to understand the faith it took for this Canaanite woman, to come in. I guess we could relate it to this in our generation. It would be like a black person in the 1930s or 40s walking into a white church and saying, can I be a part of this church? Can I get a part of what the preacher's preaching about? Can I be a benefit of what's happening in this church? We know how that would have went down in most churches. No, you can't be here. You need to find a church that looks like you. We do that in high school, middle school. Even as adults we do that, right? Coworkers judging you. How you look, how you dress, who you hang out with. How fat, how skinny, how tall, how short. Which shoes you have on, which you don't have on. Which jeans. When I was growing up, my mom and dad, they did good by me. They weren't rich. They weren't poor. But I didn't have, you know, a memory I've got. My dad worked at JCPenney for many years. My dad worked for JCPenney longer than it took Moses to cross the wilderness. And I really mean that. That's the truth. But they used to go get my blue jeans when I was in school. And they got my JCPenney. And I couldn't get the Levi brand. They were too high. So you know what I had to get? I still remember it. They were called Plain Pockets. That was a name brand. Plain Pocket Jeans from JCPenney. Now, they were JCPenney jeans, so I was still getting mall jeans. But all my friends had the Levi's and the Lee's. What I have? No name jeans. Just no name. Just denim on two legs. You know? But they were cheaper. That's what Dad got, and I'm fine with that. But isn't it amazing how we judge on stupid stuff like that? You don't have name brand jeans. You got those shoes? What are those? Are those from Goodwill? Yeah, I got 10 pairs of Goodwill. You got one pair at the mall. So, yeah, I'm happy. If we would learn not to worry about what others think and realize that God loves each of us the way that we are, He created us, He designed us, and that we can approach His throne, the Bible says, with boldness, with confidence, what that means. Confidence. I can touch God with confidence. Lord, here I am. Can you help me? He helped this Canaanite woman who should have been cast out and not even dealt with by the law and by the customs of that day. But Jesus broke the barrier. He broke the mold. And He reached out to this Canaanite dog and says, yes, I'll give you your heart's desire. But she had to do something to get it. She had to arise out of desperation and touch Jesus. Just like the woman with the issue of blood had to arise from her condition and touch Jesus. The centurion soldier, captain, had to arise and go to Jesus about his soldier being sick. We see example after example of where men and women had to arise to leave the state they were in to get to where God wanted them to be. We can't just lay there. It's like a person that wants a job, but all they do is lay in bed all day and play video games. The phone ain't gonna call you. You've got to go out there. Well, I called him once. Call him twice. Well, I called him 5 times. Call him 25 times. When I got my job at Walmart, I called David Cruz, Karina, over and over and over. And said, here's the deal. He wanted to make me an assistant manager. And I said, no, I want to be a co-manager. Because assistant manager, I'd have been taking a pay cut leaving Food Line. I said, if I'm going to leave a company, I got to have more money. I want to be a co-manager. I don't think you handle being a co-manager. I said, I want a co-manager. So I called him back. I called him 5 or 6 times, David Cruz. Saying, you know, look, I really want this job. I'll be a good co-manager. I sold him all the story, told him how, you know, all I was, the bomb that I would be and all that stuff, you know. Really sold myself. Finally, called me back one day. He says, come on, I'm going to pay you. He says, I'm going to make you cut. You know what he told me? He said, I was seeing how persistent you would be, and you wouldn't let it go. So come on. I rose from where I was and trusted that I could do that. If I would have just said yes, okay, or if I hadn't called back, the phone wouldn't have rang. You want a job, you can find a job. There ain't no doubt about it. There's signs on every place I go by now, help on it, every single place. Help on it, help on it, help on it. Well, I'm too good to flip burgers. You'd rather be broke and poor? Church is so, when it comes to providing for my family, I have no pride. I would do whatever it took to put food on my table. It wouldn't matter. I would go and I'd be the spray hoser at McDonald's doing the parking lot in the mornings with my big old rain boots on, spraying all them old biscuit crumbs out of the parking lot. And I'd be waving at you. Hey, y'all, hey, Larry, come on in. Welcome to McDonald's. Yeah, I'm getting $8 an hour, but it's okay. God, get it. Ooh, hallelujah. Whatever it takes. Will you do whatever it takes to get what God has for you? Are you tired of being where you're at and you want to arise today and say, God, I'm arising, I'm stepping out, I'm stepping up, and today is my day where I get what I need. I'm going to be like this woman that says, Lord, give me the crumbs off the table. God, I need something, and I'm ready. I need something. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Look, I know some of you are in a different situation right now, and you're in a place with no answers and no hope. I know that. You're in a place that you feel trapped. But you are not going to stay there. This is your moment to arise and say, God, help me. Arising now. If there is something in your life today that you need God to move in supernaturally, It's an emotional need. It's a physical need. It's a financial need. It's a spiritual need. You're facing discouragement or fear, whatever you're facing today, and you're tired of being in this place and you're ready to go to the next place, you have to do something about it. You've got to step up and say, Lord, I know you're there, and I give it to you today. I want to pray for all the ones. If you want to walk up here and stand with me this morning, we'll pray together. We'll pray together that your moment of arising takes place and that God pulls you out of where you're at and places you where he wants you to be. If that is you, walk up here and stand with me. Let's pray together. It's time to rise.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
This instant, in this moment, and you pull them out of where they are at. It is time they rise, take up their bed, and walk. It is time the paralysis is lifted and they walk. It is time the death that's trying to destroy them is lifted out and they come alive again. It is time to rise from the ashes of despair and discouragement and take on the victory that's found in you. Let joy, let peace, let breakthrough right now, God. Fill the vessels that stand before a holy God. In the name of Jesus, it is time. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the minute right now of a rising taking place in your people, that you will set them in the place you've called them to be in. Fill these vessels with a fresh anointing. Fill these vessels with newness of life. Fill these vessels, God, with strength, with wisdom, with breakthrough power, that they leave this place changed by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we declare this. We believe this, and we surrender all to you, God, as your crumbs right now fall from the portal of heaven to the earthly vessels of man. Fill these hearts with the crumbs from the master's table in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Congregation, stand alone while they're up here. Let's sing together this chorus.
Reach out, church.
He's right here, right now. Yes. Never too busy to hear you.
Reach out.
out right now. We thank you, God, for touching our lives. We thank you, no matter what situation we find ourselves in and what season of life we're in, you are able to speak our name, and we can arise out of our condition, out of our situation, and we can see you, Lord. We can be healed and made whole again, our hearts restored, our minds restored, our bodies restored, our lives restored from the damage the enemy tries to bring. We are the redeemed. We are your children. Covered by your blood, we give you all praise and all glory, for you are God and God alone, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Y'all love each other.